Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 54 for August 22nd, 2007. High def, low tech. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the moment you've all been waiting for, where we get together and try to remember what happened in the past week that had to do with Macintoshes, and then quickly do some research on the air, on the fly. And there's nobody better at it than, frankly, Merlin Mann from 43folders.com and The Merlin Mann Show.
That's true, Leo. I have the worst memory in the business. I'm happy to sit with you, other aging Mac fans, and try to remember what happened.
I know something happened this week. Andy Inako from the Chicago Sun-Times and the Colossal Waste of Bandwidth.
Hello, good evening, and welcome.
I'm sorry, Leo.
You're the host. You're supposed to be welcoming people. I totally overstepped my bounds. I'm giving you amends.
That's okay. You can welcome people, too.
The gift certificate to an Outback Steakhouse will be in the mail electronically.
Thank you. And just remember, I have a ham radio. And Alex Lindsay, ladies and gentlemen, from thepixelcore.com. Hey, Alex.
Hello.
Well, Alex will be in charge of news today because he clearly is the least drunk of all of us.
You know, we started drinking on some of our shows, and we found that we were actually better.
You have a show about boozing it up.
We do have a show about boozing it up, but we found that you have to. There's a certain pacing to it because we shoot the show all day. We shoot 12 episodes of Cocktails on the Fly, and the problem is that they're the best cocktails you've ever seen in your entire life, and you know we tried to get Alberta to said, you know, we could mix these with water because no one's going to know, and
she wouldn't do that.
She almost quit.
Yeah, she's a purist. There's no way she would allow that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we said, you know, we could, when we finished them, she said, you know, we said, we just pour them down the sink because we can't drink them. And she almost quit too. So then we kind of have to drink them. What?
You have to drink them is what you're saying.
Well, so we have to drink them. And we actually have now come to bring stunt drinkers to the set. You have to. I mean, you know, it really is like you have to sign a waiver as a stunt person because you may fall down and hurt yourself as much as a stunt person would.
They get paid scale, but they don't care.
Exactly. And so because we had the mistake the first couple times of allowing the cameraman to drink. And
that doesn't work.
And that's
either.
It's a very rocky kind
when
of thing.
When I first started in radio, I used to occasionally perform high on hallucinogens. But I have to say that was many, many years ago. And I have learned since then it's not a good idea.
I spent my afternoon reading I'm a Lebowski, You're a Lebowski, the new Big Lebowski book.
Wait a minute. Are you saying there's a book about the Big Lebowski now?
You know it. It's really fun.
Ageless.
And there's we can't get started on the quotes because, you know, it's a family show.
I love
it. But I can get you a toe. Just so you know, there's interviews with almost all of the main cast, and one of them is with Jeff Bridges.
Probably the best, certainly the most beautiful bowling movie ever made.
Absolutely, in the bowling genre, this really stands out for the quality.
Oh, yeah.
And although you never actually see Jeff Lebowski, the dude, bowl through the entire movie.
A little bit of trivia there.
A little bit. I learned a lot today, but I also learned he said that he was actually not high in the movie, and he said exactly the same thing you did, which is that if you're a pro, or what Alex said, if you're a pro, you learn you gotta fake it.
You can't do it. You're gonna be wasted.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm actually curious because he sure seemed high throughout the movie.
He said he used sense memory, and it was easy to picture a call. All the clothes were his. Those are his clothes.
Oh, it's a guy movie. I tried to show it to my wife. She didn't get it.
I watch it monthly.
Does Madeline get it?
You know, it's like so many things, like watching YouTube and she suffers it.
Yeah, she suffers it. Exactly. Dick in the Box, she liked.
It's hard.
My wife, not yours. I can't speak for your wife. Go ahead, Andy. You want to speak on this?
Oh, no. I was just going to say, there are times when you just have to match your arrogance to somebody's ignorance and just insist that they like this movie. I was
Andy, by the way, I might point out, is single.
No. It's more like I'm married to the entire world. It would be a damn shame to deny this. And here I'm gesturing here.
So you make people watch it?
No. It's just that when you find out that someone's not digging Apocalypse Now, it's like, you don't let me know that, because look, okay,
I know.
If you've never seen Heart of Darkness, okay?
I know.
Just the fact that you don't do the mise-en-scene, you don't do the...
Heart of Darkness is amazing.
Don't you realize there were three heart attacks? They went into the jungle for 2 years to fake this movie.
You can't do it, though, Andy. I don't know about you, but I found...
The Big Lebowski is you got to make somebody watch it 6 times. You know, you watch it once, you're like, whatever.
I loved it the first time, but you're right, it grows on you.
You get the same theater seating as Clockwork Orange and just get the eye drops handy.
That's right. Oh, is that what you do? You use the eye clamps?
Nope.
I found my wife's not fond of that.
But she loves Beethoven.
All right, let's talk about Max. We can't actually do an entire show of rat holes. We need to talk about the Max. Anything happen in the Mac world?
I actually have a question for Andy. Because it's driving me crazy. Andy, can I ask you a question? How did you get your HTC SD1 to work with your with iMovie? Do you have to do anything special?
Yes. It involves taking the card out of the camera, putting it into a card reader, and then launching iMovie.
See, I did that, and it didn't. I got no.
Yeah. Line. That's a scary sort of question, because sometimes you get asked questions like that and you realize that, well, just work for me. I don't know what to tell you, sir.
Well, that's what I expected. I thought that maybe I was being this crazy Mac user who, okay, so to back up I finally got my Panasonic, you know, well, not finally, I bought it over the weekend.
Oh, but you didn't buy the 5, you bought the 1.
I bought the 1.
How come? Because I'm holding, I ordered the 5, but I'm holding off though.
You know, the 5 has,
it's not available until September.
It's a minor thing. The 5 has 1/6 inch, 3 1/6 inch chips, and the 1 has 3 1/4 inch chips. And I believe that I'll end up with better low light performance.
Why is the 5 better than the 1? Why do they say act like the 5 is better than the 1?
Well, it does. The 5 does have a native 1920x1080 sensor, where the 1 has a 1440x1080 sensor.
We're talking about these new Panasonic cameras that record in this new AVC HD format.
Right.
Apple was all cuckoo about them at the announcement. They're cool. They record on SD cards. They're recording H.264. Andy sent us all a still from his camera. You got the SD1, right, Andy?
I got the SD1. Even so, that frame was downsampled to something like 980x4
something. Spectacular.
Crisp. I wouldn't say that if I were out shooting my niece's soccer game, if I wanted great pictures, I'm not necessarily saying that I'd leave the SLR at home, but it would be a very, very credible solution to simply say, I'm just going to shoot this all in high def and then just pluck out individual frames that I like and print them.
And you get a high def video. I mean, the video quality is excellent. I mean, it's just superb.
I really think this is the ultimate capture device. If you want to have one device that's on you, whether you want to, I mean, if you're the one of these people who I want to take pictures and we'll take 5-megapixel pictures, or I want to be able to record interviews for podcasts, or I want to shoot videos just for YouTube, or on the off chance that I actually catch something really, really great, I want to catch something that I can actually sell to a network, this is the one box that will actually capture anything you could possibly want to reproduce as media.
Merlin is now learning the bitter reality of what it means to buy audiovisual hardware, because he bought, of course, the Canon HV2. We were all crazy about that.
V1,
I mean, just
you
recently.
You shot who in the what now? I understand like one word out of 5. A whole lot of letters and I'm confused.
And he was all excited about the high, and we were all excited about the high def quality of this $1,000 Canon camera. And but now all of a sudden we're saying, this is better.
I hate you people.
Let your hate flow, young man.
So, I first of all, Alex, I do have a possible solution for you. I've heard the same complaints about, for instance, the Xacti HD 2A, that they weren't able to import from it until they formatted it. So try formatting the card and then see if it works. It may be that there's something going on there.
Right now, it's not showing up at all. It just doesn't show up.
Yeah, I think you need to format the card in the camera.
Okay.
It's not the card that came with the camera. You probably used it with some other stuff.
No, it came with the camera.
Try formatting it and see if that helps.
That might also be a difference, because I didn't use the card that came with the camera. I had like an external 8 gig card.
Yeah, I've ordered a couple of 8 gig cards. because that gives you 2 hours of recording time, right?
And incidentally, if for nothing else, putting this in my Nikon SLR and seeing that number spin all the way to, 10 megapixel raw files, about 1,000.
That's amazing.
After that, you're gonna need a card. My God, I'm in the future. This is what the future looks like.
This is a momentous occasion for me because I leave for Africa tomorrow morning, and I am not taking any tapes, any film.
Isn't that amazing?
It's completely
tiny little solid. SD cards.
It's just a bunch of little
cheap.
Pieces.
They're $100 for 8 gigs.
Yeah,
you could buy a couple of cards. Now, I want to kind of drill down on this SD1 versus SD5 because I just thought, well, 5 is 4 better.
Right.
Maybe not.
Here's the deal, is that I'm a little, I think that it may be better. It'll be more expensive. It'll come out at $1,100. I bought this
SD1. It's $1,000. It's $999.
Right. I bought the SD1 at $749 from B&H. So it was $960 with FedEx and filter and 8 gigs of memory. So
should I? The difference is the native resolution. Now, admittedly, a bigger CCD is a lot better.
Well, it's not a lot better. It is marginally better.
Better in low light.
I felt like I was making a choice between some. I am very sensitive to low light grain. You know, so when things are dark. It will get a little bit grainier. And when you pack those pixels closer together on the sensor, they tend to be a little less sensitive in dark situations and a little bit more grainy. So the size of the chip, when you have a 1/6 inch chip instead of a 1/4 inch chip, you are packing, and it's 1920 by 1080 instead of 1440 by 1080, you're actually packing more pixels into a smaller area, and the conventional wisdom is that's going to make it a little bit grainier because those pixels are they are smaller, and so they don't tend to handle low light situations as well. Now there's 3 chips on both of them, which makes it a little less of a problem. But I was really concerned about making sure that I have as good a low light as possible because that seems to be the one place where most of my cameras fall apart if they're going to fall apart. So that's why I chose that one. And it was a little less expensive. I don't want to spend too much money on this camera because, I do look at it as my internet camera. This is really for my internet blogs. Me being able to put more stuff on Vox.com, that type of thing. It's not going to be something that I'm planning to do production on, so we're in the process of, we typically shoot, I spent the whole day today shooting on a V1U, all day. So I'm still using those kind of things for production. And of course we have a 950 in the office. And so this is just my little camera. I'm going to throw in the bag. I'm going to take to Africa and I don't have to deal with any.
Do you think that the SD5 is a better camera?
I think that they're probably about even. As I said, because if you're more sensitive to low light conditions, if you're worried about those dark areas and making sure that they have the least amount of grain you're going to get for the price, I think that you might be okay with an SD1. I think that might be an edge. But if that wasn't the case,
is there any reason to spend more for the SD5?
Well, it is going to give you a 1920 by 1080 native resolution, which is a higher resolution. It's full HD. It's interlaced. But
it's interlaced. It's not progressive.
It's not progressive. These cameras aren't progressive yet. This is the one thing they don't have that the HV20 has. When the HV20 will shoot a 24p image, it does a little cheat, what we call a reverse pull down to do it, but it does pull a true 24 progressive scan image from the HV20. Is that something you can't get with these Panasonics yet? Now, what happens is if you bring it into the new iMovie and it says, do you want to do a 960 by 540 project? When you say yes, what it actually does is it just grabs half of it when it interlaces, interlaces half the screen is on every other line and then the other half of the screen is on every other line. When you say, I just want 960 by 540, it's just actually going to grab one of those fields, squish it together and scale it and give you back that field. And so you end up getting progressive scan when you do 960 by 540 in a way that you don't get if you do full resolution. I know
so
we're kind of.
I'm wondering why I'm spending an extra $200 for this 5. Andy, what do you think? I mean, you're using an HTC SD1 right now. You think there's any reason to get the 5?
Well, again, I think that this is a good chance to get a different perspective, because I am totally the other end of the
right.
sophistication spectrum.
Right.
I'm the guy who just wants to, you know, take pictures of whatever's going on and, you know, maybe cut it together and have some fun with it. And I've seen some of the specs, I've seen some of the sample videos, and I personally just can't see the difference between the two. Maybe it's just because I'm just so thrilled to be shooting such nice, crisp HD so easily. And maybe, again, my focus is on how easy it is to get
right.
data out of this, how to get film out of it.
And I love the idea of not having to digitize. I mean, I just digitized two tapes, and it took, you know, it took a couple hours in each, and it just takes forever. And this, you just drag it over.
And, you know, it's not just with these HD cameras. I mean, I have this, there are these companies that are now making these, like, flip video recorders. That are these $100 little NTSC quality camcorders. They're like the disposable camcorders you used to get at the drugstore. Right. Only, you know, for $30 you get to keep it. You get the thing. That's a very, very handy. I don't know if you ever actually used one of these, but you flip a switch, it out pops a USB connector.
Mm-hmm.
It's the video you shoot is stored on the device. It becomes sort of a flash storage device. Not only that, but all the software you need to import the video and to edit it and cut it and turn it into QuickTime or something, it's also there on the device, so you can just take it to whatever friend's computer you have at the beach house and start editing it. And just the simple fact that, again, it takes about 5 minutes after I hook this thing up, I've got 45 minutes worth of useful video to start playing with. That in itself makes me want to shoot more video, because I can't tell you how many times I've been paid money to actually cut together like a 5 minute whatever on some event. And it's like, oh, God, but now I've got 3 hours worth of video that's going to take me 3 hours to import and then 3 hours to manage it, as opposed to
flip,
and my heart up and I can screw it.
So, Alex, is the choice then between a better low-light camera and lower resolution, higher resolution?
And I think that the issue is that because I plan to put most of the stuff on the internet, I think that
resolution's not an issue.
960 by 540 is fine.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if it goes down to that, I'm going to be able to live with that. And so that's the issue that I have, is that I don't really feel like I need the extra resolution to, you know, for what I'm using the camera for. And I think that the other thing to remember is that most people will tell you that unless you have a screen that's greater than about 60 inches and you're closer than about 10 feet to the screen, you're not going to be able to tell the difference between 1280 and 720, so 720p, and 1920 by 1080. So you literally need a really big screen, and you need to be pretty close to it to be able to really tell the sharpness difference for the average person.
And the 5 is black.
Sorry?
The 5 has a black body.
Oh, well, that, never mind, because I was willing to pay, I wanted to
People
pay
People do that. They pay $100 more for a black body.
Yeah, exactly. So,
On the MacBook.
Everything. I'm going to pull back everything.
All right. I'm glad to get that clarification, because we talked about this last week, and I think a lot of people were interested in that camera. Let's talk about iMovie, which you talked about last week. Pogue, finally, David Pogue steps forward just a few days ago, saying Apple takes a step back with iMovie 08. Now, David does a lot of video production. I don't know if he uses Final Cut or iMovie, but I gather he uses iMovie a lot. And he's not happy with the new iMovie.
Actually, it's kind of interesting we're talking about this right now, because just I talked to Apple for like a half hour right before starting to record this, because, I mean, I'm starting to try to get iMovie, and so I was talking to a whole bunch of people, and they're giving me the philosophy behind it. And I'm starting to really understand what Apple was going for with iMovie. Because again, I'm not the person who's trying to do professional video. I'm the person who's trying to turn 60 minutes worth of video into a 6 minute whatever that I can show to people. And they raised a point that I actually wanted to follow up on. I'm not sure if I believe it, because it seems such an odd thing. But they said that one of the reasons that motivated them to totally rethink how they do iMovie was their belief that people simply are not editing video. They just still think that it's too difficult. It's not something that they're interested in doing. That the explosion that happened in digital photography has not happened to camcorders, partly because people just don't know what to do with all this video that they have. And so this was a direct answer to, well, let's make people want to edit video now.
Do you think it's achieving that?
Well, again, once I started to purge my mind of everything that I knew about iMovie, the previous iMovie, which was not a whole lot, I started to really enjoy the way that if you want to compare the idea of, again, taking the 60 minutes worth of footage and making a rough cut, honestly, the old iMovie just is not in this race because it is so easy to scrub over the things you want. You simply highlight what you want, drag it into the hopper. It's all cut together. It's no more difficult than dragging and dropping text from a document and editing it that way. Whereas iMovie is a little bit fiddlier that way.
Excuse me? Is it still destructive? I mean, it's still
You always have, on the bottom half of the screen. You always have your. If you're just dealing with the 60 minutes that you just imported, and of course you can have multiple sessions here. It's not that you're limited to just one import. But when you drag that stuff from the bottom into, for lack of a better word, your timeline, the original video is still there. So if you want to grab it again, or if you want to delete it from the timeline and then start all over again, it's all still there. It's not destructive. You don't have to re-import everything because you didn't have the right idea the first time you tried to edit this.
Okay.
Did Apple say, Pogue says Apple told him, well, this is 1.0. We're going to add back all these features that we took out as time goes by. Did they say anything about that to you?
No, but then again, I think the conversation that from the column that I've read from Pogue, the conversation he had was way different than mine. He seemed to be mostly trying to address specific really cool features that are missing, like the old iMovie was much, much easier to manipulate audio. You had a plug texture, and really, what can Apple say? But okay, we did that. The new iMovie does not have those things, but we could always add those things in later on.
Right.
But this,
well, he says there's no timeline, Apple, so you have no idea how long your movie is, which is a good point. He says, as you say, there's no the audio. You only choose one piece of music to put behind the video. You can't adjust levels.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think that the elimination of the timeline is a good thing, because again, when it comes most of the edits that I do, and again, I come here as a very consumer oriented editor, is not I need to cut on this frame and exactly this frame, but no, I want to cut to the kid when he starts with it. I want to cut away when the ball leaves the frame. Not okay. Now the ball is there, and cut it right there.
Right.
Because the timeline is a great metaphor for that, but it's not a great metaphor for look. Just get the kid swinging the ball. Get the kid chasing after the ball, and then get the play at the plate. Please, can we go home now? iMovie. The new iMovie is a great answer to that.
Better
problem.
For that, certainly. Yeah. Yeah.
What? And I have to admit, I plan to, as I go to Africa with this little camera and my little, solid state capture system, and I'm pretty proficient. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I'm pretty proficient at Final Cut. We do a lot of shows. But I'm planning to use the new iMovie for all of it. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I just want to hack stuff together. I want it to be done really, really fast. And by the time I get everything kind of set up in Final Cut, I could be done. and that's I still think for a reporter on the, putting something up that's if it works, if my tests work through the fall, when we do Macworld, when we have to do 30 episodes in a week, we're just going to use this iMovie because we can just sit there and just plow through this data really, really fast. We can also, if we want, we can plow through it really quickly and then send it to Final Cut via XML. That's something that the new iMovie does. And then clean it up there if we want to do work on every frame.
That's pretty cool. That adds a lot of flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm actually...
And it adds to Apple's bottom line because you have to buy Final Cut, which some say that's the rationale for this.
I'm just saying, when we started fiddling around with Ben and I started fiddling around with this video show, I went out and bought the quote-unquote quick start guide to Final Cut Pro, which was about 2 inches thick.
Right.
And I've never seen an application with so much Chrome and so many options and so many buttons. And I know they're all valuable, but I totally get this as a consumer product. I loved using iMovie. I use it to make the Phone Guy episodes, but it was several episodes before I realized that version I was using was destructive and all my original stuff was actually getting creamed. And so if that's non-destructive, but even easier to use, I totally see a market for that. One click to put it on YouTube, I mean, that's such a no-brainer to me.
They also wanted to point out that they're going to be putting out lots and lots and lots of tutorial video in the coming weeks because they understand that a lot of people are going to have to start all over again, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm tied to it, the timeline metaphor. I'm kind of baffled. I'm playing with iMovie and I'm going, well, that's it. I mean, I imported some stuff and I played with it. I love the skimming. I love the fact that it's there, but I keep thinking, where's my timeline? I don't know what to do. So I guess
I wonder though if I mean again Merlin the guy who knows so much about business I wonder if also Apple has much more to gain than to lose by differentiating the products further rather than trying to add a lot of features to iMovie that make it more like Final Cut Pro. Why not take out or change the features that make it you know, confusing to people. So the very first time they open it up, it's kind of easy to grok.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Well, I really do think that their one priority was to make it simpler. If the one thing that really put me on their side was, and again, I'm not taking this as gospel, I need to double check this, but the idea that no, people are not in fact becoming iMovie demons. They are actually they're back in 1988 where they're again filling up a cassette and just using that cassette or maybe burning it to DVD. Where if they're not being encouraged to edit something down, and we all know that the great thing about editing is that you can take 60 minutes worth of, and people, your friends and your family will put up with anything that you shot of your kids, so long as it's less than 2 minutes long. Okay, and you start to like see that press against that barrier for every minute you add onto it. And so if you're going to teach a legion of people how to take 90% out of everything that they shoot, you're doing a great, great thing for society as a whole. And it just really amazed me that there aren't people who are using iMovie, who are using online editing tools. That again, we're still in the same boat that they were in 10 or 15 years ago, where I shot it, I'm going to play it, and now here it is.
Right.
And if that is the goal, I really do think that is Apple's goal for this product. Nothing more simple than if people aren't using this the way that we intended to do, that must mean that this version of iMovie is screwed up in some way. Let's start all over again.
I didn't know you could go 104 miles in a Prius, but apparently you can. Steve Wozniak admits that's exactly how fast he was going on I-5 earlier this year. He said, it's because I was looking at the kilometer per hour speed. I thought I was a metric criminal. I was in metric, Your Honor. Judge didn't buy it. Fine him $700.
In feet per second, I was going even faster.
And so he cut off seven $100 bills off the roll.
Yeah.
He got back on his Segway and sped away.
I wonder if he paid him in $2 bills. Now, that would be funny.
Doesn't he carry a roll? Doesn't he carry like sheets of money?
He carries sheets of $2 bills. And
what I want to know is, Was the car in car mode or robot fighter mode when he was pulled over?
He says that he plays a game with himself with these $2 bills that he has in a sheet. His game is to get people to think they're counterfeit. They're not. They're legal. Somehow he gets them from the mint. And he puts them on sheets. And what he'll do is he'll cut them out and pay. So he'll cut out a $2 bill. And then he says things that, wait a minute, these are accepted by the U.S. government or the Secret Service. See, it says it's okay. It tries to get people to go, these are counterfeit. He actually enjoys that. And, well, anyway, there you go. I think it'd be funny if he paid in $2 bills.
And all these things you can do when you have lawyers.
Yeah.
But it reminds me, though, that the GPS got me out of one speeding ticket, I think, for exactly the same way that Woz tried to get out of his speeding ticket.
How's that?
Because I had an old junker. It was like your classic Millennium Falcon, you know, where it looked like junk on the outside, but it had like GPS, it had a computer, I put all my money in like the electronics as opposed to the car itself. Got nailed for doing like 60 and a 45. And this was like when GPSs weren't all that well known. And so my excuse when the cop pulled me over, really? Oh, well, you might know more than I do because, you know, my speedometer doesn't work. I have to rely on this GPS box, this satellite box, somewhere the speed is. And then he asked for an explanation. So I gave him a 15-minute demo of how GPS worked. Well, of course, if it locks on to two satellites, needs to lock on at least three satellites for 2D navigation. If it can lock on to a fourth satellite, it can also get you elevation, blah, 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 blah. And here's my breadcrumb trail. And by the time I got done with the demo, I think he sort of forgot why he pulled me over in the first place, and he let me go.
Woz is doing all right. He probably was on his way to a date with Kathy Griffin. Did you see that? She's the comedian who... recently hosted the D-List, and I think this is according to Valleywag. Valleywag seems to be fascinated by who's dating whom.
Yeah. I remember when I was in junior high and I didn't have a girlfriend, I thought about that a lot, too.
I think that's wonderful. I think they belong together.
She's energetic.
Yeah.
I was talking about Valleywag. She's energetic. She's fun. I think it's an exciting match.
They belong together.
He's looking a lot like an Ewok.
Attention.
Steve Ewokniak.
He's getting very, very, very in the photo in the article you mentioned. Yeah. He's getting more and more Ewoky. He's adorable.
Okay, but give him credit though. This is like a frame grab from an interview. Nobody can look good 30 frames per. Make sure that every frame of that 30 frame per second over 5 minutes.
I'll vouch for that. Every time I'm on webcam.
Leo, what do we look like? What do we look like on screen?
I don't know.
Catcher's mitt in a wig.
That's you. People, it's funny. Every time I do a webcam broadcast on Ustream, people say, boy, are you exhausted? You really got to get more sleep. So
HD is hard on my large Irish
face.
It's rough.
Yeah. Really not looking forward to that. So iPhone cracks. Now, we should mention that Scott Bourne is on a corporate jet somewhere and not available for the show today. But in his place, I shall mention the iPhone. Last week, I was going to hack the iPhone during the show, and I chickened out because the steps. And it just, I thought, I can't do this to my iPhone. I like it too much. Now there's a new way to do it that is reputedly easier to do. I don't know. It still looks like a lot of steps to me.
You going to do it?
No. Well, here's Gizmodo's article. It says, if you wanted to install native third-party apps in your iPhone, but you didn't have the necessary technical knowledge or courage, the newly updated iPhone installer.app makes it so easy, it'll be hard to resist. Shall I read you the steps?
You know what you should do, Leo? You should get, I know, I happen to know for a fact Scott carries 11 extra phones with him, just in case he needs to bribe
get
someone.
One of his phones. There you go.
Exactly. For, for bribes, public officials, he just carries a lot of extra phones. You should get one of these phones and go screw with it and see if this works.
I hear he carries the iPhones in a sheet and we'll just cut them out as needed.
he just punches them out.
Like, yeah. He's got a little sheet of them. It says download the installation file, connect your iPhone, deactivate the iPhone automatic sync in iTunes. Go to utilities, find terminal. Oh, there you go. Here we go. Double click on terminal. In terminal, go to the folder that contains the application installation script and run it. Get installer.sh. The script will run asking you what version of firmware you have. If you updated your phone, you'll have 101. If not, select 10. The script automatically downloads the necessary restore file from Apple servers. When it's done, it'll prompt you to hold the home button and the power button to reset. When the message connect to iTunes appears, release the buttons and let the thing do its magic. Well, I guess that's pretty easy. And then it adds an icon that says installer. Have you done this? Anybody?
I'm too scared.
Any installation process that includes allow the device to connect to a server you've never heard of, download software you have no idea, and run it on your device.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just as we were going to our little microphones here, the 102 update.
Oh, really?
Just came out. I noticed a lot of people. There's a bunch out there. I noticed my friend Dan was just saying that, for example, there's a whole bunch of, like, there's another hack out there right now where you can supposedly very easily add another button.
Yeah, that's what this does. It adds a button to your bottom row. Yeah, to your bottom row. And so, now you can install apps. And in fact, you now have to get a new app because you're going to have too many apps and your phone doesn't scroll. Okay, let's see. iPhone software 102 bug fixes. That's all they're saying, just bug fixes.
I would do this on a spare phone or a friend's phone. But no way would I do this.
Apple could push something that would break.
I would do it on Scott's. I would totally do this on Scott's phone.
Yeah, I would do this on Scott's phone. Yeah,
he's got a vest. He made a vest out of iPhones. It's an oversized XXL vest that he made for himself out of iPhones.
Well, he does have a lot of numbers, so you have to decide what you're calling him about.
What part of his vest do you want to ring?
Exactly.
He doesn't have a cinema display. He just has 40 tiled iPhones.
That hip phone, that's only for calls.
We should do this. It should be like Scott, or like Chuck Norris things for...
yeah, we should. All right. This is a challenge to our listeners. We want a Scott Norris style list of Scott for Scott Bourne. Did I say Scott Norris? Chuck Norris style list. Chuck Norris style list for our Scott Bourne. And it could be, Scott Bourne uses an iPhone, but only to blind his opponents, that kind of thing.
I heard Scott has one iPhone that he just uses to dial the other iPhone. He takes the edge of it and he just dials with it. He's never actually spoken on it.
I love it. Skype was out last week. I missed a couple of podcasts as a result of it. That's not specifically a Mac story, but look, my iPhone's updating.
But it's a Mac fanboy story.
Kill it! Kill it! Why? What happened? Do we know what happened?
Yes, we do. Skype has said
Windows. All Windows.
Yeah. According to the Skype blog, there was a big old Windows service update. And when a metric bajillion Windows machines started at one time, I guess they all pinged Skype as part of the restart.
Oh, you're kidding. So it was actually a denial of service attack from Microsoft.
Along the lines of a DDoS, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
The issue has now been identified explicitly within Skype. We can confirm categorically that no malicious activities were attributed or that our user security was not at any point at risk.
And it was Microsoft's fault.
Well, I don't know if it's Microsoft. It might be, the people who chose to buy Windows, I suppose it's their fault.
Oh, because wait a minute. So everybody rebooted at the same time, and they all had Skype running, And so they all tried to log on to Skype at the same time for 24 hours?
Here's the lead. Here's the lead. On Thursdays, this is from the Skype blog at about.skype.com. On Thursday, 16 August, the Skype peer-to-peer network became unstable and suffered a critical disruption. The disruption was triggered by a massive restart of our users' computers across the globe within a very short time frame as they rebooted after receiving a routine set of patches through Windows Update.
That seems a flaw in Skype.
They said as much. They said it's something that they hadn't, I guess they hadn't prepared for something like that to happen. They're working on it. They said it usually self-heals, and I guess they're working to fix it. I mean,
interesting. I mean, you can't really blame Microsoft. This is they're pushing out updates, and what it is there's so many Windows users is what it is. There's too many Windows users. Unbelievable. So, and they're all using Skype.
We must do something to eliminate them.
There,
message received.
No more Windows users.
You hear that,
users.
Listeners?
Take care of the Windows users.
Little Windows achievers.
It's kind of like everyone flushing at the same time.
Yeah, that old urban myth about the Super Bowl. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's an urban myth, right?
It's an urban myth. I'm pretty certain.
What tell us. What is the myth?
The old urban myth used to be that during the one I heard was that in New York City, during commercial breaks in the Super Bowl, the entire water system would become all screwed up because everybody flushed at the same time. Yeah,
it's the Super Bowl effect. That makes sense.
Let's see what Snopes says.
Yeah, see what Snopes says about the Skype effect. All right, my iPhone is now rebooted after updating its firmware.
Does it feel better?
Well, the question is it going to act better? Has anybody done this already?
Now the planet in the middle of the home screen is replaced by Scott's picture.
You know, by the way, we never did apologize for this, but you know, the last time we did this live update on the show, Scott and I went, wow, look, it's changed the weather icon. So it reflects the actual weather. And it just turned out that in fact, both of us, it was sunny and 73 degrees at where we were.
you had this stopped clock phenomenon.
Yeah, it was right once.
Stop clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, and if we did it exactly at 10:15, the clock would be right too.
Please aim camera outside window so that icon can update.
Okay, it sounds like you're having trouble getting your phone near the window. Let's try again.
They finally implemented that GPS feature. Now they just you aim it out the window and it uses pattern recognition, compared with Google Earth.
And now it knows where you are. Perfect. Oh, amazing.
According to Snopes, there is a claim that sewage systems of major cities have broken due to the tremendous number of toilets being flushed simultaneously. Status: false.
False. It's a lie.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Old face.
Is there any other, let me ask you, Leo, is there any other podcast in America today where you can learn such a variety? You can learn about cameras you don't understand. You can learn about fake toilet rumors. You can learn about Scott Bourne's vest. Is there any other program in America?
The guy with the backpack made out of an old Apple.
I don't know if you guys saw that article.
Mac SE. No, this is the only podcast in the world where you'll hear these things. Because, frankly, there's just not enough Mac news to keep us busy.
You get to hear people Googling for information.
Yes, and that's most of them.
This is all that information that those Wall Street fat cats don't want you to know about.
I wonder, though, if we maybe thought there would be more Mac news every week than there really is, and that, in fact, this podcast can't possibly exist.
It's unsustainable, Leo. I don't think it's sustainable.
That's really, people say all about the rat holes and everything, but the reason is because there's like three stories a week.
Yeah.
We've done them all, by the way. There are no more stories, unless you can come up with something.
I got some new headphones.
You got new headphones?
Ooh.
No, I didn't mean stories about you. I meant about the Mac.
It was important. I got these new microphone headphones for the iPhone.
Oh.
The V-Motos.
Oh, how do you like, now the V-Motos don't have a mic on them, though.
They have a mic, I think.
They don't. I know what they're missing. They don't have the intermittent, the pause and the next button. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have that. I was expecting that, and I was, you know, but they sound a lot better than the, you know, than the headphones that you get with the iPhone.
I have
boom, but I'm really spoiled. I mean, I have these Ultimate Ear.
That's the thing. I want to be able to use my Atomotics, and I've got to get that Shure extension.
Yeah, they're like $99, and they're actually they're much nicer than what I had before, and it's nice that they have a mic on them. But they're a little, as I said, just slightly bassy, I'm a little spoiled, as I said, because I'm kind of addicted to $300 or $400.
I'm using a 30 pair of replacement iPhone headphones from Rivet that actually are nice, and they're lanyard style, so you hang them around your neck, which I like. Sound quality slightly better than the iPod headphones. It does have the mic button with the intermittent and the pause and the next and all that stuff.
I think I've got mutant ears. I love using mine as the kind of the douchey talk over the headset thing. I love that. I love that I don't have to have a separate Bluetooth thing for that.
I do love that. I agree with
you. But they hurt my ears. I think I have mutant ears.
No, they hurt everybody's ears.
So let's play a game called Let's Act Like It's 7 weeks ago. And since Merlin now has an iPhone that you guys all had 7 weeks ago. So is there a best practice? Do you have is there a single probably Griffin unit that you guys like for if you want regular old headphones? How you adapt to the screwy?
Yeah, the only one that I think that people should look at, although, and Scott says that the Apple stores have them, is this Shure adapter.
Sure.
That
okay.
adds a microphone and switch, and then you can use any headphone. So if you have a good set of headphones like Alex's Ultimate Ears or my Edimotix or somebody's Shure's, you can use those with the Shure adapter, but of course it adds wire. There's more. Now there's even more wire.
How does it use? What does it do for a microphone?
It has its own microphone on it. So this little adapter allows you to use regular headphones, and the adapter itself contains a microphone.
That sounds extremely douchey. So you've got like three little.
You know,
things.
I'll be honest with you. The best to me, the best solution is to get to. You probably have a lot of these lying around from other iPods, the little earmuffs that come with the other iPods, but for some reason, unaccountably, don't come with the iPhone headphones. Put those on. It adds in a lot to the comfort level of the.
And then finally, you were bringing this up 7 weeks ago. Hello, case. What do you like for a case? Have you landed? You were, as I recall, as I was carving out my corneas with a paring knife, I remember you. There was some buzzing sound,
no,
and you were
turn.
Talking about cases. Did you ever find a case that you love, gentlemen? Question to you.
I use the DLO Jam case that I like a lot. It's the rubber case that has the cord management feature, and it's cheap.
Oh, nice.
I use the Marware. And it's another one that's like really just a slightly larger than the actual iPhone. So it just kind of pulls on like a sock. And one of the things about Marware is they actually make really good, the little plastic covering for your iPod.
Yeah. I like Marware stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it actually is really custom, you know, well, it was easy to put on and I got it on well, and I don't have any air bubbles. And so I have to admit, I kind of, after I put it on, it works so well because I just put the rubber casing around it. And then I just had it. I had it in my around my iPod. And then I kind of took my iPod out. And I have to admit, about half the time I don't even have my, you know, about half the time I have my iPod, you know, in it, and half the time I have it out of it just by itself. And a lot of it has to do with whether I'm wearing a pair of jeans, because if you have a rubbery thing in your,
it's hard to get out
pocket. It's really hard to get out when someone calls. But about half the time I have.
And I have to agree with you that the iPod without a case is just right for fitting your breast pocket. I think it's smooth, but I worry about dropping it.
I do. That's why I keep the rubber one on a lot.
What do you use, Andy? What do you have?
People think I pull out my iPod from whatever pocket I've got it in, and I don't have any sort of a wrapper on it.
You don't use protection?
And people think, look at me like I'm Charles Manson or something. It's like there's that half step back. And I'm like,
is it holding up well?
It looks showroom new. I mean, I'm not careless with it.
Mine looks terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not careless with it. I don't keep it in the same pocket as my car keys. But, you know, give me 5 seconds with a rag and it'll look factory new.
I have to agree with you. Yeah.
It helps very much that I'm using a loaner from Apple. I'm not sure if I'd be that brave, you know, with something I actually have to go pity poor pitiful me. I have to go buy an iPhone now in the next 3 weeks. But, I mean, I'm amazed.
You've had a loaner this whole time?
Of course.
He's writing a book on the iPhone. I think they get a little slack that way. Actually, I was wondering if iPhone sales had been tanking because all of a sudden AT&T offered me a loaner last week. I thought, sales must be slow.
No, probably because that, again, most people got them for like, I think about a month or something.
Oh, these are the ones coming back from the A-list.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically,
it smells like David Pogue.
Yeah. It's got DP engraved on the back. I can't understand that.
They have the same folks that the same folks who did P. Diddy's line of fragrances are also doing the Pogue line of fragrances.
How can I get any lower than well, I guess if in 7 weeks somebody else gets an offer for review, then we know they're on the C list.
Uh-huh. All I know is I just got my last ever bill from Sprint, and even paying my exorbitant go away and
feels
get
good,
out of the camp thing. Oh man, I can't wait to get rid of them. Of course, in the final indignity now, they're telling me I have to actually go into the store to pay my final bill. They will not, because now my phone, I don't have a number anymore. So it's like, you know, right up to the end. They like to give you the old Scroogey right up to the end.
You're going
to
love AT&T. Really, they're so much better.
I had a very good experience at the AT&T store.
You know, they got special training for the iPhone because they changed a lot.
Yeah.
They changed a lot.
I have to admit, my experience when I was having trouble getting my iPhone to, you know, the very first little setup problems that a lot of people had, I had about an 8-hour delay, and I called the AT&T, and I have to admit, I was kind of amazed because I've been using Verizon, bad. Which is usually me being kicked to the curb, right. You know, pretty much immediately, and I was pretty impressed, actually.
Well, Europeans are going to be able to get their iPhones, it looks like, this year. T-Mobile, O2, and Orange are now, according to the Financial Times, the official European launch partners, depending on where you are. T-Mobile will be Germany, Orange in France, O2 in the UK. That's kind of what everybody thought, actually. It's not much of a surprise.
And I bet it's going to be like $5 with a one-year contract for them.
Yeah, don't you think?
Every time I'm in London, it's like, oh, good. So the phone that I almost spent $600 for unlocked is basically your free with activation phone from Orange. Okay, great. Fine, whatever. We don't deserve nice phones in America because we've done nothing for society, which is true, but still we deserve nice phones.
And then you go back to your apartment where you have your 20 megabit connection for $10 a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I was every time again. That's another truism. Every time I'm in London, I spend the $38 American for one night of hotel internet access just to send lots of emails saying you're not going to hear from me for the next 8 days, and here's the reason why.
No, it's mostly in Asia. Korea is the one that has the crazy fast access, right?
Scandinavia also very good.
Mm-hmm. Korea is like 100 megabits a second or something like.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
There is a case, I think Shubi got it for the iPhone, that is it the iProtect? It's Eye Shield. It's the plastic, you know, it seals it in plastic.
Mm.
And I've heard actually good things about it.
That's the hard plastic one?
No. It's soft. It's, you know, it's like a vinyl sheath. But you apply it, you have to get the bubbles out. They've made them for iPods for
sounds
a long time.
Really creepy.
Yeah, it does. It's like basically
it's like
putting
plastic
covers on your sofa.
Ugh. Shubi man, I don't know.
He's a fan.
Have Omega Man or something like that. I mean, no way.
He's a fan. Well, anyway, I don't remember. I want to say Eye Shield or Eye Protect. I can't remember the exact name.
Eye Rubber.
Eye Sheath. We're going to do our picks in just a bit, but before we do, I want to remind everybody that this show is brought to you by the good folks at Audible.com. They've been really great this summer. They've been our summer sponsor, and like all summer relationships, it's going to come to an end when school starts, but we're so happy that they've been here, and I hope they don't kiss and tell. Audible.com/MacBreak. It's not too late to get your free book by signing up. No obligation, no cost if you decide not to stick around, and they've got so many good books. Anybody want to make an Audible book pick this week? Anybody heard a good
book? I have
one,
but I've been dominating this, so I'll give other people an opportunity to speak.
What are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? Things Fall Apart by Achebe.
That's supposed to be good.
It's really, really good. I finished it like two days ago. It gives you probably the best reading experience possible if you really, really like to read. Meaning, for the first half of the book, you're like, oh, goodness, what weak writing. I can't believe he made... I know this was a first novel, but still, so much self-indulgence. And then things start to... The angle starts to narrow in on what the point of the book is. The action starts to pick up. It's remarkable, though, in that I've never read a book where... You don't find out what the book is about until very last page.
It's very satisfying on the last page, but it's very frustrating right up to that point.
Well, up to that point, it's a good book, but you think you understand what the book is about, and it's
Harry
not one
Potter
of these cheap
was
little.
Like that.
It turns out that he was a ghost all along, right. You only thought he was alive. It was like, oh, so
it crystallizes.
That's why he's
so boring. It's like rock candy; it suddenly hardens. So, is that an Audible book or is that a paper book?
I looked for it, and unfortunately, it's not an Audible book. It's a classic. He sells like 2 million of these a year since 1953. It's like one of these high
that.
School.
Yeah. It's this, say the name again.
Things Fall Apart by, I can't pronounce his last name, Achebe, Achebe. It's a good like two night read. You'll be joined by a lot of really, really mean spirited kids buying it because it's on a lot of summer reading.
It's a classic summer reading book. Yeah, absolutely. Which I skipped, I think, in high school. I was going to tell you what I have been, what I just ordered, and it'll be my next Audible book. I just downloaded it. I'm really excited. It's a guy I've read a lot of his stuff, Simon Winchester. He wrote The History of the Oxford English Dictionary. He wrote, he's written some just wonderful books, The Map That Changed the World, which is The Birth of Modern Geology. But the book that I just got is, I don't know if it's his latest, but it's, I think it's fairly new. It's called A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. I'm really excited.
Great title.
And it's you know, he's very good. The Professor and the Madman is the history of the OED, and he's very good at taking history and writing this stuff. He's written a book about something like this. He wrote Krakatoa, about the Krakatoa volcano. This is supposedly one of the best books ever written about the 06 quake in San Francisco. And since we should have one any day now, I thought I'd prepare.
This is going to be your last chance before the, you know, it falls off into the Pacific.
Last chance forever. Before the 08 quake.
I remember right before we lost our house, I was reading an ironic book.
Very ironic. So that's called A Crack in the Edge of the World by Simon Winchester. My recommendation for an Audible book. Anybody else want to do an Audible book, or shall I just move on here? You're always invited, you know.
I'll report back when they get the Lebowski book.
Oh, I hope they do. Is it a picture book, though? See, a picture book's not good on audio.
There are rules, Leo. This is bowling. This is not Nom.
There are rules. I love, you know, he, that is his best role ever.
He says so. John Goodman says in the book that that's his favorite role.
Yeah. There are rules. He's just so
Market 8. Market 0.
Okay, don't get us started now with Lebowski quotes. We'll never finish this show.
Hey, Leo, I have one more piece of news.
Yes.
And that is that I don't know if you saw that Adobe has H.264 is now getting supported in Flash.
Actually, before you do that, let me just wrap up the Audible spot by saying, they thank Audible for sponsoring the show and remind folks that they can get a free book by going to audible.com/MacBreak. We really appreciate their support. Tell me again, Adobe now H.264, what?
Yeah, I was like, I know there was something else I wanted to talk about, but Adobe is now supporting H.264 in Flash, and it's big because of the kind of the push, the constant competition between QuickTime and Flash and video and all
huge.
These
huge.
Yeah, it's a big, big deal.
Now I know YouTube was putting stuff in as H.264. I just assumed that meant the Flash had supported H.264, but that's not the case up to now.
No. Yeah, well, they hadn't announced it up until now. Okay. So I don't know how long that had been the case. I mean, YouTube may have known as they moved everything to H.264 that it was still going to work inside of Flash.
Aha.
But that's what... So what we're looking at is what's pretty cool for people that make content is that we can now make an H.264. It appears, I haven't tested it yet, but it appears we're going to be able to make H.264 video, and it'll play inside of Flash or inside of QuickTime or, you know, that type of thing. So it should be a very, very, it should be much more ubiquitous. About as close to a standard for video as we've gotten in a long time.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Now, so when will Microsoft support it, I guess, is the next big question.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think that this is the, I mean, I've always said that, you know, there's a, I, you know, I talk a lot about it and I think that there's an interactive component to, what we're seeing on the internet that hasn't really happened yet with video that is going to happen probably next year. And the big thing was, will Adobe get better video or will Apple get better interactivity? And, Adobe just got better video.
Right.
So if Apple doesn't get better interactivity, there's going to be some real problems, for them competitively for QuickTime.
I still think Flash is the winner, hands down. And I, especially now with Flex and what Adobe's doing with Aaron Flex, and I just think talk about interactivity.
Well, and what's amazing about the whole thing is that Apple was a decade ahead of everyone else,
right? But that's they were a decade ahead in 1984, and they still let Windows catch up,
right?
It's not unprecedented.
Right. Yep. So it's going to be real interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds and how it affects how we watch media on a Mac over the next probably 18 months.
I've been loving the YouTube videos on Apple TV. Look so good, so much better than, you know, full screen Flash videos. I guess that's kind of a no duh because it's running so much larger. But
that was the issue is before the they weren't using H.264 codecs, and those H.264 codecs.
Well, they are now on the Apple TV. When you look at it, You're getting H.264 now when you watch them?
Well, I don't know when you first started whether you were getting that, but I believe that what, you know, if I'm correct, YouTube, when you upload something, it keeps it in whatever format it's in. If you badly compress it on your phone, it's going to look the same.
Right.
But if you put up an H.264 and it really turns out that H.264 is probably the best thing to upload to YouTube, whether it's going to go to Flash or to H.264, because it quantizes that video before it gets up on the web, and the Flash, you know, conversion actually goes much smoother. So if you put it up on H.264, or if you put it up at a very high res animation or your DV or whatever, if you were nuts and uploaded a 4 gig file for 4 minutes, which some people have done, it still has that file somewhere, but then it compresses it down and puts it out as a, you know, 1 meg file. And, but it's slowly recompressing all of those higher res files to be ready for, H.264. And a lot of us are hoping that what we're going to see is YouTube actually adding an HD component at some point in time, which the H.264 was almost required for. You could never do the current Flash codec at HD and have any kind of quality because it's just too big.
What are you watching on YouTube on your Apple TV, Merlin? Come on, tell the truth. Fergie videos. Go ahead. What are you watching?
Something.
Hips don't lie, baby. Shakira.
Something I found via Metafilter yesterday. Go to YouTube and do a search on Star Stories.
YouTube Star Stories.
It's a Channel 4 UK TV show
You had me at Channel 4.
Fake biographies of celebrities. And it is so...
In 2006, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes invited the biggest celebrities in the world to watch them get married in Italy in the biggest and best ceremony of all time.
I do. Whoa! Yes!
Tom was happier than anyone in the history of the whole world. But
this
road to happiness had gone long and
dark. Tom Cruise look-alike. That's hysterical.
Later on, when he's learning that he might lose roles because his teeth aren't perfect, he meets Nicole Kidman, who it turns out is a dental surgeon who takes him to bed and fixes his teeth. So I made Madeline watch that, and she groaned like she did with Chocolate Rain.
Same thing. Damn,
we got right back to weeds. But no, I'm telling you, Star Stories, it's really stupid and really funny.
David and Victoria Beckham. George Michael, Madonna, and Guy Ritchie.
They're not in terrifically good taste.
They look
pretty
funny.
Just FYI.
They look pretty. I can't wait to see them. I've been watching the Flight of the Conchords. Have you seen the I just love the Flight of the Conchords.
They're very charming. The one with Britney Spears and making her first video with Colonel Sanders directing is worth watching.
This is a Star Stories?
Yeah.
Britney Spears, Star Stories. How funny. I can't find that one. I'll have to find
that. That's what I watch on my Apple TV.
Yeah, we know what he's doing. And it looks good enough to watch on a good screen.
It looks pretty good. You know, I understand about an eighth of what Alex says, but I think what he's saying is they've got an original version of whatever you uploaded. So that gives them the flexibility.
If you're on an Apple TV, to send you the better quality.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, think about that. I mean, one thing Google's got is server, you know, space. And the one thing everybody in Google and nudges each other about, we ask them, is like, there's just apparently huge amounts of capacity going on inside of Google. So hang on to that stuff forever.
Right.
And then you're not going to make it better and better.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, the opposite, like my problem I ran into with iMovie of accidentally like editing my source footage. They're going to have that forever and whatever, you know, so they can scale in the future.
Here's Britney Spears. While you guys are thinking about your picks.
Howdy, folks. Now, if you're like me, then you probably get to wondering why a pretty girl like Britney Jean Spears went all weird and made herself ugly like a lesbian. Well, forget what you read, because we here in our hometown of Kentwood, Louisiana, have decided to tell y'all the real story of Britney. So, here it is, the Ballad of Britney Jean Spears. Yee-haw!
So, presented by the state of Louisiana.
You probably want to stop right about
that. Yeah, I stopped at the right point, I think.
You find out what the three jobs are in her hometown, you'll
be glad. Yeah. Oh, my God. And then they've got some look-alike. So they actually,
it's like almost like funny, classic kind of British, you know, baggy pants kind of humor. Because they've got this basic cast that's very talented and they play everybody.
Sketch
and
comedy.
And it's very broad. It's very broad.
I like it. Colonel Sanders, there he is. All right. Time for your software picks, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I want to. I have to say, I was apologize. I went on Pixelmator because I was a little skeptical because you know, the nice web page, but where's the software? But I understand that some of the software has gone out to beta testers. I don't know who those people would be, but it looks pretty good. I hear so it's coming along quite well.
I actually asked him if I could say something about that.
And what did they say?
Said it was okay.
Oh, okay. Because I'm in cagey, but I've been playing with it, and I know you have.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's I don't want to talk about the stability yet because it's still in beta it's still kind
That's
of moving
fair.
Forward.
Yeah.
But as an idea and as some of the pieces and they're not. What's interesting is that there's a lot of things that are comfortable about it that if you're a Photoshop user are kind of comfortable. There's a lot of things about it that are just they've rethought the way to do it. You know, and I think that's exciting, you know, and I think that it's not Photoshop, you know, right now. But it is really for $59, it's going it's to impressive. Be, I think, yeah. a really, really great application.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a
also, it addresses a really,
go big, ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Andy. No, no, no.
I was going to say it addresses a really, really big hole in Mac software. We don't have an iApp that gives you image editing.
Right.
And just the other day, I was in a situation where I don't want to launch Photoshop just to make some quick tweaks to a picture, so just to obscure a license plate, so that I can post something and not have people figure out where my friend lives. And you download. You can get open source apps that are way, way, way too big and they're not nearly Mac-like. We need a Mac Paint for the year 2007.
Yeah, and this is a lot more than that. I mean, it's really what's great about it also is that it's a modern operating, you know, modern architecture. It sits on top of the GPU.
Yeah.
So if you have a reasonably fast graphics processor, you know, you're going to get performance that, you know, and we've experienced that. We've got a bunch of internal applications in the Pixel Core that we use for compositing, and they're all based on the GPU. And we're used to seeing, you know, uncompressed 444. We're doing composites and everything else in real time. Because we're basing it on the GPU rather than the CPU, and that's what they're doing here with you know with Photomator or Pixelmator, and it is you know, so I think that we're going to see the performance, especially if you're shooting with a 10 megapixel camera, or now Canon just released a 21 megapixel camera. When you see these larger images, or when you start doing complex operations, I think you're going to find the performance may turn out to be better in a lot of ways than Photoshop.
Do you have a software pick for this week, Alex?
I do. It's actually not a new piece of software, but it's an update. I believe that the Handbrake has been updated this week, and Handbrake is a very it's very near to my heart.
I love Handbrake. We all use it religiously, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's new iPhone settings and presets for you. And it's just it's always a good opportunity to remind everyone that Handbrake's out there and that they should have it when you want to have a DVD that ends up on a more portable device and convert video files to something for your portable device. It's just a really, really great little application that makes it easy.
That's Handbrake all I have to say. By Handbrake, and it's like handbrake.m0k.org.
Something like that.
Google Handbrake is the best way. Andy Inoko, your pick of the week.
It's going to be an iPod app. SeekPod just out with a mobile edition of their service. Have we talked about SeekPod before?
No, but I've been using it on the iPhone, and it's amazing on the iPhone.
Yeah, basically, it's now this is
S-E-E-Q,
music piracy.
You should say.
SeekPod.com.
Yep.
If you're listening on your iPhone, it'll be SeekPod.com/iPhone. You basically pops up a standard iPhone Java app sort of interface where you're just navigating for music that's out there on the net, both from things that are popular, things that are hot, rated by artists, rated by just about anything. And you can just sit there for 3 hours and listen to music just by tapping. I mean, most of the time, my desire to seek out music on the net has been stymied by the fact that most of the music out there is pretty darn awful. And the stuff that's really, really good is either behind so many different BitTorrents that you just can't get at what you want. Also, you're using an iPhone. There's limits to what you can do with it. But this is absolute wonderful browsing. I just want to find out what's out there, and I want to find something to listen to today. I don't know what I want to listen to, but I just want to find something. I can't tell you how many bands and how many musicians that I've just written down on paper because I found it through SeekPod. And like I said, now a lot of this stuff is copyrighted stuff that really shouldn't be available through SeekPod or any other service like this. But the iPhone is the one system where the music should be open-minded enough to have no qualm with it, because if you're listening to it through the iPhone, it's just a player. You can't save any of the stuff locally. You're just using it to browse content and listen to all this, you know, all this complete unedited, uncut albums and uncut tracks. And already, again, it's had that wonderful fever inducent where I've spent $10-$30 on the iTunes store at Barnes & Noble buying CDs that I just heard about through SeekPod. It really is very, very slick.
The way SeekPod works is that it's not hosting any of these files. It's really just a search engine for MP3s that people have put on their websites. And if they're MP3s, they'll play through Safari on the iPhone. So it works quite well.
Yeah, it's more of an organization and a locator than a clearinghouse.
So I guess again, they'll get away with it. I mean, I don't know.
I don't. Yeah. Again, I, you need someone with a lot more education than I to figure out what's legal and what's not. All I know is that, again, there's so many times I'm listening to music. I don't know what I want to listen to. I just want to listen to something cool. And this is probably a really good enzyme between that desire and actually listening to something you're going to enjoy.
SEEQ. Seek Pod. So, Mr. Merlin Mann, do you have a little something for us?
Yes, rather.
Rather.
I have an iPhone, and I'm looking for things.
Congratulations!
To do with
Woohoo!
Conformist.
He tried.
Merlin.
He tried.
Yeah, but I don't like it. Okay. Anyway, I am enjoying using the Safari to go out. That's what Chuck Garabedian says. This is what those Wall Street fat cats don't want you to know. I am enjoying some of the applications that are out there very much. I have a special little folder where I add in new exciting things, and I'm enjoying a very, very pretty application. It's a web app. It's called Pocket Tweets, and it is for doing Twitter over your iPhone. And I'm just saying, versus using my Trio and and trying to use Blazor, boy, this is what a different world. And the one reason I call it out here, it's not just because of Twitter, but it's really, really well done. It's very pretty, and it looks just fantastic. And it works along the lines of the typical kind of, you know, iPhone-y app, but it's not just that WAP style Gopher menu idea. It's really good looking. It uses some canny JavaScript to make it very app-like. I just think it's beautiful. It's pockettweets.com, pocket and tweets, two words, .com. And I have an iPhone.
Is this the one that came out right away? Because they were one of the first to have this.
There was one called, I don't remember what, as you know, I avoided all of this as much as I could.
Yeah, so you weren't paying any attention.
I basically had to unfriend everybody on Twitter. I had to unsubscribe from 20 RSS feeds. So I deliberately missed the buzz. So again, sorry if this is 7 weeks late. But I'm only now slowly resubscribing and then very quickly unsubscribing in some cases. This one came out, I think this was in kind of the second wave. I'm pretty sure my friend Bobby Anderson works on this, Buzz Anderson's brother, Boy Genius. And I don't know, I just really like the way it looks. I think I guess the message behind all of this is I'm intrigued by the idea that an iPhone app can be more than just a WAP menu. And that by really tuning it, for what you can do with JavaScript on a Mac, you can do some, or on an iPhone, you can do some pretty stuff.
I'm kicking myself right now because I had a really good program and it's on the other computer and I cannot remember the name. It came up because I'm using Lightroom now like crazy. I really like it for getting my raw photos in and processing. And I played with Aperture for a while and Lightroom really does it for me. I still use Photoshop, but for, you know, kind of mass processing of raw photos, I just love Lightroom.
Would you like to use the magic of editing to pretend that you...
Yeah, to make it actually look like a good picture.
No. I mean, do you want to go walk over to your other computer and find out?
No, I can't because the other computer is at home. But what the program that I wanted to recommend, the issue was, you know, I've used the Flickr uploader for a long time on for the iPhoto. There's a really great exporting program for Flickr.
Razor Spears.
Yes. What's the name of that?
It's called Flickr Uploader. But I'm pretty sure Fraser's company.
It is. It's Fraser. That's the one. And I was looking for something like that for... Lightroom, and I found one, and it's fantastic. And I can't remember the name. It's not free, but it's not expensive. Actually, it is free if you just want to export to one thing, but it does Flickr. It does a lot of different photo sites. Is it Lightstock? Yeah, I think it might be Lightstock. No, that's not it. I'm looking for it, and I can't remember the name. I'll just have to save it for next week. Dag nabbit. But it's a great little program, and of course, I'll get a lot of email in about 3 hours, and everybody will say, oh, you mean, yes, you know, that one. But it's a great little program, free if you just want to upload to one place. So if you just want to go to Flickr from Lightroom, that's free. And if you want to have multiple locales, you can. But it does a great job of taking what's in Lightroom. And, you know, obviously you can't send a RAW to Flickr. So it'll JPEG it. It'll add tags based on your Lightroom tags. And it does a great job. Makes it very easy. And I've been using it to upload to Flickr now for some time. And I've been very happy with it.
Sexy.
I wonder if it tags. I should look on my Flickr. I wonder if it in any way. Does this ring a bell to anybody? No. No, never mind. That's how I uploaded my last few photos. I wonder if it says, how did I upload it? It doesn't say.
Oh.
More properties. Let's see if it says in more properties. No. Well, I'll just have to save this for next week. I do thank you all for joining us, and we are glad you were back, Merlin. We missed you last week. How'd it go, Google? Aww. Did it go well at Google?
Last week was Apple.
I mean, Apple.
It went really well. Yeah, it went really well.
Yeah.
It's boy, it's weird. It's like I was telling somebody, it's like getting to sing in the bathroom at Graceland or something. Like getting to go to Apple, man. Wow, that was cool.
You were really in cool. Four Infinite Loop.
I was in Four Infinite Loop where there was no edge access.
That's cracked me up. I saw your tweet. How did you upload that tweet if there's no edge access? I don't understand.
Aha, there is a public AP, and lots of Apple people direct messaged me to let me know what the open AP was. But that's a hell of a place they got there. A lot of smart people.
Yeah, pretty cool. Google or Apple?
Google got no use for them. No, Google too. No, Google, man, those guys are brainiacs.
That's the bad. You know, it's not Marianne and Ginger anymore. It's Google or Apple.
No, it's Marianne and more Marianne.
All right. So we're glad you're back. We'll see you again next week. And I didn't mean to scare people. Apparently, I scared some people by saying that Merlin was going to take a little time off, but that won't be till October.
It's so hard to find stuff about me on the internet. I realize why there'd be a panic.
There was a sudden panic. That sex change operation has been delayed. He doesn't have to go to Helsinki until October.
Yeah.
Andy Inako is at CW. Actually, I got to remember to say this. www.cwob.com.
There you go. It's not one of those dell.cwob.is.whatever.
You can't leave off the www, though, I found out.
Really?
Yeah.
Or else what happens?
You get something.
Like Crossing the Streams and Ghostbusters or something?
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute, let me try it. cwob.com. It doesn't work.
Try goatsy.cwob.com.
Yeah, no. You have to go www.cwob.com. You might want to talk to your service provider about that.
We'll talk to America about it. And hey, speaking of talking to America, can I get one?
You're going to be on TV.
I was going to be on the TV on Saturday morning on CBS, doing a. I'm basically doing like a Mythbusters sort of test of cell phones on what you should do with your cell phone after it drops in the toilet, or you run through the wash, or anything else you're not really supposed to do with the cell phone unless you want to go back to the store and say, it just stopped working, I don't know what happened, as it's dripping water onto the counter. And so I'm testing out T-Mobile, God bless T-Mobile. I emailed them saying, I want to destroy about a half dozen phones of yours on television. And they sent me a half dozen working identical phones, so you'll have like consistency from data to data. So I have like five different urban legends I want to test. I'm imploring the mighty, mighty MacBreak Weekly audience to send me other ideas, things that they've heard of, that doesn't matter if you've tried it or if it actually works or not, things you've heard of on ways to resurrect electronics, personal electronics that have gotten wet. Things like soaking it in vodka, you know, burying it in rice, all these other sort of stuff. So no matter how bizarre it is, I want to know about it because I'm hoping to do this again sometime.
I can give you an actual story that happened to me.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. I had my brand new cell phone. It was a T-Mobile SDA. In my pocket, and I bent over the toilet. Won't say why I bent over the toilet, but it slid right out of the pocket. Right, blink, bloop. Oh man! In fact, I'll never forget being in a urinal and seeing that happen to somebody. The guy was on the phone, and he slips and it drops it into the urinal, and everybody's laughing because they're mad at the guy for being on the phone anyway. So it's very satisfying to watch him try to decide whether he should put his hand into the full urinal or just say goodbye.
You know? Probably flush.
In this, yeah, flush for. In this case, the toilet, well, there was nothing in. You know, the toilet was had not been used, so I reached in, immediately took out the battery, got everything out that I could, let it air dry, and it worked again in about 3 days. But I did, but I didn't. You know, I let it air dry completely before I used it again.
Yeah, that's the boring one. I reserved one as a control. I'm just air drying it. The more that I tried, the more I went looking for these stories. I only had like three or four that I could remember, and I found like three or four more.
Don't microwave it. That would be bad.
That would be cool. Wouldn't be bad for the phone, but cool for your YouTube.
Yeah. I think for CBS, you should definitely have a microwave on the set and try one in the microwave.
I guess their microwave, someone else's phone.
Yeah.
You could be really, like, as we've demonstrated with iPhone skins, you can be a brave, brave SOB with other people's hardware. You can be Prince freaking Valiant so long as there's a FedEx slip waiting for you. Thanks for the loaner.
Yeah.
I'll call again if I have any other brilliant ideas.
I think all the pieces are here, still here.
So how should people communicate their stories to you?
Email me. My email address is ai@andyi.com, or if you go to cwob.com, you'll get all my email addresses. But like I said, keep them coming, because I have a feeling that I can find people who can give me 6 packs of all kinds of cool things to destroy via water, so long as I keep coming up with ways to try to resurrect
these. Oh, you want this as a continuing piece.
I'm hoping to make this into a franchise.
He's the guy. Oh yeah, he's the guy who destroys stuff in water.
Yes, don't return his phone call. Yeah. Everybody at Apple, don't return his phone call. He'll ask for an iMac, but he's just going to throw it off of something.
I like it. That's good. That's
Turns
good.
Turns out that above 3 stories, the Apple logo splinters.
Too bad the Blender thing's been done, because that's good video.
It's very good. The best one is with the iPhone, when it turns into smoke.
It turns black.
Like, you don't even know what happened. It's grinding, and suddenly it's just like...
Well, it proves it actually is magic.
Yeah. A lot of magic smoke. I think that UI work.
Don't inhale the smoke, whatever you do.
Yes.
Unless you want to see some magical pixies. Carry you off, magical land.
Once again, Alex Lindsay is at thepixelcore.com, and that's a great place to go if you want to get involved in all of this exciting creativity on the net, and maybe even make a living doing it. That's PIXELCORPS.
And people can also check me out. I'm going to be in Africa next week. I won't be on the show.
Okay.
But if they go to alexlindsay.box.com, I'll start probably posting tomorrow of my harrowing travels from here to New York, to Senegal, to Johannesburg, and then finally to Harare, Zimbabwe. So I'll put some pictures up whenever I get some connectivity.
And our congratulations to Steve Jobs, who has been inducted into the California Hall of Fame this week. Talk about pathetic.
I'm proud to be an American.
I didn't even know that there was a California Hall of Fame.
It started last year.
Well, I wasn't going to brag, but I got 3 emails last week saying that I was a winner.
There you go. You see, you are a winner. You're all winners.
We're all little Lebowski achievers.
That's right. Do you have a final Lebowski quote for us, Mr. Merlin Mann?
Is this your homework, Larry?
Is this your homework, Larry?
Killing your father, Larry.
It was already in an iron lung. Ladies and gentlemen, another Mac break is broke.